You see a lot fewer crosses as jewelry now than when I was growing up. There are some. You may even be wearing one right now, but remember, my formative years were in the 70s and 80s when Madonna was dictating fashion, and even my Jewish friends wore these big crosses as a sign of irony. No, today, if you see someone wearing a cross, it's a pretty safe guess that they're wearing it as a symbol of their faith, not as an accessory. Yet, I wonder how many of us have contemplated the symbol of the cross recently. We know that it is a universal symbol of the Christian faith. We know that it derives from the fact that Jesus was crucified on a cross. But the definition of a symbol is that it stands for something else, that it represents something abstract. In our gospel today, Jesus tells the disciples, if any want to become my followers, they let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And even before that, when Jesus tells his friends that he himself would suffer, die, and rise, Peter rebukes him, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Understanding suffering and the cross was important to Jesus, and misunderstanding it is nothing new. It goes back to the very first time he said anything about it. Similar to Jesus' experience of being misunderstood, the Buddha tells his disciples that understanding his instruction is like picking up a poisonous snake in the wild. It's all too easy to be bitten by the thing you're trying to understand. In fact, all too often, people end up misconstruing the Buddha's teaching, just like the Jesus teaching, to mean the polar opposite of what he intended. And so he spoke of handling his teaching as one would handle a snake. If you pick a snake up in the middle of its body, it's easy in turn to be bitten. It's only if you pick up a snake just behind its jaws that you will be able to pick it up and be safe. So it is with understanding my teaching, says the Buddha. It's not simply a matter of hearing the teaching or being able to recite it. It's about holding the teaching in the right way. Ideas, and important ideas in particular, are dangerous and can do significant damage unless they are handled well. Understanding what Jesus meant by take up your cross is one such idea that can bite us if we don't hold it the way Jesus intended. His first century listeners would not have heard take up your cross as atonement. They would not have heard take up your cross as Jesus died to reconcile us to God, to save us from our sins. That's a much later reading that some theologians dreamed up. When Jesus said to his disciples, take up your cross, his eyewitnesses wouldn't have been thinking of even a sign of forgiveness and liberation. Their only thought would have been of the cross as a torture and execution device used by the empire as a means of public humiliation and control. The cross was a horrific public device of execution. So when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, he's saying, pick up your public device of execution and follow me. In a commentary on the Sojourner's website, Kelly Palmer reminds us that Jesus was a victim at the hands of the Roman Empire. He was murdered for his refusal to comply for his insistence on nonviolent revolution, equality, and freedom from oppression. He was executed for a love so radical that Pilate couldn't face him, for being a living embodiment of scripture that the religious leaders of the day couldn't or wouldn't interpret. Jesus told us explicitly that if we want to be his disciples, we must take up our own crosses and follow him. This commandment has been misconstrued in so many ways. This is your cross to bear, especially has been used often to keep those who are suffering persecution, oppression, domestic violence, abuse, and economic injustice from breaking free. Instead, we are told to endure patiently, to forgive just as Jesus forgives his executioners, and that it will all be all right in heaven. Friends, that flies in the face of everything that Jesus did during his ministry. He liberated people, spiritually and physically. He took away their blindness, set them free, spoke up for the voiceless, dined with those whom society deemed as the lowest, and fed them when they were hungry. To take up our crosses like Christ can never, ever mean staying silent in the face of oppression, whether our own or someone else's. Jesus never intended the cross to be a sign of oppression. Nor did he mean for people to seek out pain and suffering, as some misinterpret this passage to suggest. Stop and think. The cross was the means by which the world tried to destroy Jesus, tried to control him, tried to take his message and mission off course. I would suggest that when Jesus tells his disciples to take up our cross, he's saying, become intimately familiar with the means by which this world is going to try to kill you. Become intimately familiar with the way that this world is going to try to take you off course, with those death-dealing forces in your life. Find the thing that's going to kill you. Hold it in your hands and say, I am not going to let you stop me from living the life of compassion and justice that God created me for right now. Get in touch with the way that the world is going to torture you, with the fear that it inspires. And then follow Jesus anyway. Say to your torture machine, I am going to transform your death-dealing nature into something of beauty. For most of us, our torture machine is some iteration of fear. Fear of cancer or some other hurtful, painful disease. Fear of finance and not having enough. Fear of strangers, of not being able to defend ourselves, of the government taking our guns, fear of the other shoe falling. Years ago, I was living alone after a particularly bad breakup. For the first time in a long time, I didn't have any roommates. I was intentionally not dating for a while. And Sunday afternoons were torturously lonely. It was spring, and so there wasn't the camaraderie of watching football to distract. And the loneliness, especially on Sunday afternoons and evenings, was almost debilitating. I remember reading this gospel passage, reading, "Take up your cross and follow me," and deciding that I was going to take up loneliness. I was going to learn about loneliness, study it, dissect it, figure it out. I was going to make friends with loneliness. I was going to become so familiar with it and understand it that it wouldn't have power over me any longer. Friends, what if take up your cross is calling you to become intimately familiar with something that's consuming you, distracting you, has the power to debilitate you and get you off of your God-given track of mercy and compassion and healing and hope? What if you came to understand take up your cross as a call to flip the script on the thing that has the potential to derail your goodness? There's another Buddhist story that fits beautifully here. It seems that one day the Buddha noticed the temptress standing in his doorway. Instead of ignoring her or shutting the door, Buddha said, "Hello, old friend. I see you there. Come in, sit down, have some tea." This week, my prayer for us is that we will take up our crosses, that we will become familiar with the things that have the power to destroy us, and that we will call on the healing power of Jesus' saving love to tell them that they will not have the last word, to tell them that by virtue of our belief in Jesus and following his way, the last and final word will always be love.